Staff, please come to order. The members, please vote to signify their presence. Take close roll.
The roll shows all senators present this morning.
Dear God, we thank you for life. We recognize that the trust given to us by Alaskans ultimately comes from you. May our work and energy be true to this trust. We have high expectations for this session. May we be strong in our convictions and be discerning where we can compromise to the good of Alaska. I come to you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Chair, would you please address this gentleman?
Thank you, Mr. President. We're here to notify you that the House is convened and we're ready to do business.
Convey our thanks to the House. We will respond in a formal fashion in a few moments. Thank you. Have a good session.
Thank you.
Senator Ziegler, we debated the response this morning, but since we do have a formal, Senator Ziegler, would you head the delegation of yourself and Senator Sturgalewski to weigh upon the governor, inform him that we have convened and are ready to do business? And I would like Senator Victor Fisher and Senator Helfer to wait upon the House at this time and inform them we're ready to do business. Please return. Stand at ease for just a moment. Corley.
Mr. President, we have the presentation of the flags by PAC 15 Resurrection Lutheran Church, and the color bearers are Westcott Powers, Bryce Morrison, John Lowe, Charlie Lewis, Hiram Henry, and Julio Cassell.
Bring them in.
We have Sean O'Keefe, 10 years old from Fairbanks, who is going to introduce us to the inner thoughts of President Lincoln at the time he wrote the Gettysburg Address and then recite this famous address.
Maybe he'd be conducted.
Mr. President, Mrs. Speaker, legislators, ladies and gentlemen, I would like to take this opportunity to give very special thanks to President of the Senate, Senator Jay Kutula, and Chairman of the Rules Committee, Senator Jan Fakes. And very special thanks to Senator Fahrenkamp and our professional assistant, Mark Boyer, who put it all together for me. And I hope I prove worthy of your confidence. I would like to present to you my introduction of the Gettysburg Address, and possibly President Abraham Lincoln's innermost thoughts at the time he gave this great speech. How humble I feel, I, a mere boy, to stand in front of these flags, symbols of our great state and our nation, and address you. You, the duly elected members of our government, whose labors, endeavors, and integrity can be judged and your efforts recognized, when simple men can say of you that you have done well, that you have done well for your country, that is honor beyond compare. And be assured, there are amongst us today many of my generation who will in time grow and shoulder our responsibilities as you, in your duty, have so nobly preserved them for us. And let us not forget that once again in the course of human conflict, young American men are still fighting and dying on the world's battlefields. Even though I am only a very young boy, when I rehearsed this speech, I felt a great inner inspiration, and I am sure when you hear it, you shall feel the pride of being an American. But what is America? Is it our great industrial empires, our huge cities, our vast population, our complex missile silos, our battleships, our tanks, our atomic bombs, our warplanes, our guns? Yes, it is all this and much more. At the end of this speech, I shall tell you what America truly is. If his spirit is here amongst us all this evening, I am quite sure he would stand beside me, hold my hand, and say, "That great government of the people has endured." President Abraham Lincoln's Gettysburg Address. 67 years ago, our fathers brought forth on this continent a new nation, conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal. Now we are engaged in a great civil war, testing whether that nation, or any other nation, so conceived and so dedicated, can long endure. We are men on a great battlefield of that war. We have come to dedicate a portion of that field as a final resting place for those who gave their lives that nation might live. It is altogether fitting and proper that we should do this. But in a larger sense, we cannot dedicate, we cannot consecrate, we cannot hallow this ground. The brave men, living and dead, who struggled here, have consecrated it far above our poor power to add or detract. The world little notes, nor long remember what we say here, but I can never forget what they did here. It is rather for us to be dedicated to the unfinished work which they who have fought here have thus far so nobly advanced. It is rather for us the living to be dedicated to the great task remaining before us, that from these honored dead we take increased devotion for the cause of which they have given the last full measure of devotion. We here will highly resolve that these dead shall not have died in vain, that this country under God shall have a new birth of freedom, and that government of the people, by the people, for the people, shall not perish from the earth. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, that is America.
Gentlemen. Chambers, Senator Halford. Didn't discuss the lawsuit.
Well, we got a big round of applause.
Thank you very much, Senators. Senator Ray?
Mr. President, I would move the final supplement of the first session of the 13th legislature be approved and certified.
Without objection. So ordered. Are there guests for introduction? You have the floor, Senator. Senator Gilman.
In the far gallery to my left is a gentleman from Soldotna who has been very active in fishery affairs on the peninsula, Mr. Chuck Robinson.
Senator Fahrenkamp.
Mr. President, it gives me great pleasure to introduce the parents of our young man, Sean, this morning. It does your heart good to see, as a man especially, as an old educator, to see families that really support each other and work together. And I'd like you to meet Sean's sister, Kathleen. She's age 7. Kathleen, would you stand, honey? And Brian, age 2.5. And Mom and Dad, Catherine and John O'Keefe, residents of Fairbanks for 10 years and constituents of mine. Thank you so much.
It was a brilliant job, Sean. We much appreciate it. We appreciate the parents for coming today, too. Are the messages from the governor this morning?
There are no messages from the governor this morning, Mr. President.
Are the messages from the other house?
Messages of January 9. Dear President Kurtula, the Alaska House of Representatives cordially invites the Alaska Senate to meet with them in joint session in the House chambers to attend the Governor Sheffield's State of the State Address on Tuesday, January 10, 1984, at approximately 7 p.m., and the State of the Budget message on January 12, 1984, at noon.
Senator Ray.
Mr. President, I move the Senate to accept the House invitation to meet in joint session on January 10th at 7 p.m.
Without objection, so ordered.
And I also move that the Senate meets with the House in joint session on January 12th at 12 noon.
Objection. So ordered. Senator Stevens, if I might be allowed to, is requesting an early evening session, and I told him it was the tradition of the Senate to adjourn by 7 p.m., so we request his report before 7 p.m. It may be as early as this Friday. And adjournment not later than 7, so the message would have to come between 5 and that period, from considering the time you get here and leave. Are there communications?
September 30, 1983, from the Alaska Municipal Bond Bank Authority, in accordance with Alaska Statute 4485-100, the 1983 annual report. December 21, the Honorable J. Kurtula, dear Senator, enclosed is a copy of Alaska Housing Finance Corporation's FY 1983 annual report. January 9, 1984, from Gerald L. Wilkerson, Division of Legislative Audit, the distribution of condensed annual reports in accordance with AS 2420-311. These reports will be on file in the Senate Secretary's office.
Appropriate committees may wish to review them at any time, and individuals at any time also. Further reports, further communications.
There were no other communications.
I do not believe there are reports of standing committees.
There are none.
Special committees at this time.
There are no special committee reports.
There are no resolutions. Are the resolutions for introduction?
There are no new resolutions.
Is there not a resolution proposed that was not available this morning? Was that a bill, Senator?
We'll
be at ease. Introduction at this time, first reading reference of bills and executive orders. The governor has several executive orders. Would you please proceed?
Executive order number 55, transfer, creating a Department of Corrections.
Health, Education, Social Services, Judiciary, Finance. I hope they would, the first committee at least would dispatch that executive order after due process as quickly as possible. Please proceed.
Executive Order Number 56, transfer to the Department of Education from the Department of Administration the responsibility for distributing the session laws and the Alaska statutes.
State Affairs, Finance.
Executive Order Number 57, transfer the Alaska State Office from the Governor's Office to the Department of Commerce and Economic Development and rename it the Alaska Foreign Office.
It's a very substantial effort. I think we'll just give it to the Commerce Committee initially.
Executive Order Number 58, transfers two veterans programs from the Department of Commerce and Economic Development to the Department of Military Affairs and renames that department as the Department of Military and Veterans Affairs.
I'm going to ask to be given to Judiciary and Finance, however State Affairs wishes it. They may request it also.
Those are the executive orders from the governor.
Please proceed with introduction of bills.
Senate Bill Number 319 by Senators Fahrenkamp, Curtula, and Bennett, an act making special appropriations for payment as grants to the City of Fairbanks and the Matanuska-Susitna Borough for the construction of multi-purpose activity centers and providing for an effective date.
The Secretary of the Senate, please note that it should be Fahrenkamp, Bennett, and Curtula. Bennett the second is the co-sponsor.
Yes,
Community and Regional Affairs Finance. Please proceed.
Senate Bill Number 320 by Senator Ray, an act relating to dissolution of marriage.
Judiciary.
Senate Bill Number 321 by Senator Ray, an act relating to the office of the Ombudsman and to the powers and duties of the Ombudsman.
State Affairs, Judiciary.
Senate Bill Number 322 by Senator Curtula, an act relating to the Alaska Agricultural Loan Board, providing for an effective date.
It's merely the number on the board. Resources, Finance, look to see if they wish it.
Senate Bill Number 323 by Senator Vic Fisher, Ziegler, Curtula, Rohde, and Josephson, an act relating to income of Alaska Pioneers home residents.
State Affairs and Finance.
Senate Bill Number 324 by Senators Vic Fisher, Fahrenkamp, Curtula, Moss, Eliason, and Josephson, an act establishing a veterans discount on state land disposals.
Resources, Finance.
Senate Bill Number 325 by Senator Sturgalewski and Josephson, an act relating to residents of the Alaska Pioneers Home.
State Affairs, Finance.
Senate Bill Number 326 by Senator Ferguson, an act relating to the constitutional spending limit and providing for an effective date.
Constitutional, Judiciary, Finance.
Senate Bill Number 327 by Senator Sturgalewski, an act relating to child abuse.
Health, Education, Social Services, Judiciary. May we stand these for a moment. Senator Ferguson, to order.
By Senator Ray, an act relating to legislative immunities and privileges.
Judiciary.
Senate Bill Number 329 by Senator Ziegler, by request, an act relating to liquor licenses.
Judiciary, Finance.
Senate Bill Number 330 by Senator Ferguson, an act relating to state employment registers for public employees.
State Affairs.
Senate Bill Number 331 by Senator Ferguson, an act relating to the preparation of the executive budget and providing for an effective date.
Judiciary, Finance.
Senate Bill Number 332 by Senator Ferguson, an act making a special appropriation to the Department of Transportation and Public Facilities for local service roads and trails and providing for an effective date.
I was a co-sponsor of that one. So I don't know if you noted it or not. Transportation and Finance.
Senate Bill Number 333 by Senator Moss, an act relating to state aid for volunteer fire departments and providing for an effective date.
Community and Regional Affairs, Finance.
Senate Bill Number 334 by Senator Moss, an act relating to health resources development and providing for an effective date.
Health, Education, Social Services, Finance.
Senate Bill Number 335 by Senator Moss, an act amending the Alaska Grain Reserve Program and providing for an effective date.
Resources and Finance.
Senate Bill number 336 by Senators Moss, Curtula, and Fahrenkamp, an act relating to state contributions toward the premium for federal crop insurance and providing for an effective date.
Resources and finance.
Senate Bill number 337 by Senator Moss, an act relating to the Delta Junction Bison Range and providing for an effective date.
Resources, finance.
Senate Bill number 338 by Senator Moss, an act making special appropriations for development of the Delta Junction Bison Range and construction of a bison herd drifter barrier and providing for an effective date.
Resources, finance.
Senate Bill number 339 by Senator Moss, an act repealing the expiration date of the Alaska Agricultural Action Council and providing for an effective date.
Resources.
Senate Bill number 340 by Senator Moss, an act relating to taxation of agricultural preference land by a municipality and providing for an effective date.
Resources, finance, community and regional affairs may wish to look at that.
Those are the new bills, Mr. President.
There is a resolution for introduction. Senator Ray.
Mr. President, I would move and ask unanimous consent that my name be added as a sponsor to Senate Bill 323.
Not objection. Unless the sponsors don't wish it, we can hold these bills for 30 minutes before we send them on to printing for co-sponsors. Please ask the prime sponsor before you request co-sponsor after the end of the session. You may wish to. Is there a resolution for introduction?
Senate Joint Resolution number 90 by Senators Eliason, Ziegler, Ray, and Fahrenkamp, supporting variance requests by pulp mills in Southeast Alaska.
Resources Committee.
That was the only new resolution this morning.
There is a daily calendar. We have introduction and a special program here. Would the Secretary of the Senate read the citation?
Citations in memoriam, Frank Paradovich by Senators Ziegler, Curtula, Ray, Vic Fisher, and Paul Fisher, and Representative Szymanski.
And Senator Eliason also was inadvertently.
A citation honoring Teresa Friend by Senators Bake and Paul Fisher.
You have the floor, Senator.
I move and ask unanimous consent that the rules be suspended and the publication of those requirements on the citations in memoriam of Frank Paradovich and honoring Teresa Friend be waived and the citations be taken up as special orders of business at this time.
Without objection, Senator Ziegler.
Mr. President, may I suggest to Madam Secretary that in the last paragraph of the Paradovich citation, the fourth line beginning his service in the Senate, may I suggest we change the word Senate to legislature because he served in the House as well as the Senate. Senator Ray caught that. Mr. President, if it would be in order, I'm inclined, which is quite unlike me, to say a few kind words about Frank. May I have the floor for that purpose?
The bill is before us. You have the floor.
I look around the Senate, and it occurs to me that you and Senator Ray and I were the only legislators now serving Senator Eliason, who had the privilege of serving with Frank. The resolution is well written, and it serves as a eulogy, but where it says in the second paragraph, soft-spoken and yet forceful. The word forceful should be deleted. I'm not suggesting this formally. And the word tough should be inserted, because he was that. He died in the Ketchikan Pioneers home, which he deeply loved, last week at the age of 88. He lived a good life, and the citation spells it out very well. If I can ramble on, I would like to tell an anecdote or two about Frank to illustrate just how tough he could be. We were elected in the 1964 general election, and we came up to organize the Senate coalition, mind you, in 1965. And in those days, five senators were elected from each judicial district. And so in Southeastern, we had Dick Peters, a Juneau boy who's still around, Senator Jim Nolan running at large out of Wrangell, Senator Frank Paradovich out of Klawock running at large, Senator Howard Bradshaw out of Sitka, and myself out of Ketchikan. And we had one of those smoke-filled meetings in a room in the Baranoff with five Southeastern guys, and we decided what we would opt for if anybody would come and talk to us. And Bob McNeely did. He said he had six votes he was bringing down from the north and west with him. And how did the five guys from Southeastern feel about this? So we had talked about what we thought we would like to have. And Senator Peters wanted a seat on the Finance Committee. We were telling McNeely what we wanted. Senator Nolan wanted to chair Commerce. Senator Paratovich wanted to be the majority floor leader, as well as the Rules Committee chairman. Senator Bradshaw wanted to be the Finance Committee chairman. And I said, I'd particularly like to serve as your Judiciary Committee chairman. He said, you've got a deal, and walked out. It took 5 minutes. It was that simple. And Frank was the one who outlined this program for us. And I don't want Senator Fakes to get any bad ideas from the next thing I'm going to say. In those days, when Frank was the Rules Committee chairman and I was his vice chairman, if you lost a bill, that was the end of it, whether it was burned or flushed down a joint or whatever happened to it. If it disappeared, that was the end of the legislation, as you well remember, sir. And Frank was called back to some kind of an international fisheries convention in either Quebec or Ontario, I've forgotten which. And he said, now, you're going to take good care of the calendar for me while I'm gone, aren't you? And I said, certainly. Won't be anything on it that you wouldn't approve of. And I came up to set up a calendar for the 4 or 5 days period that he was gone. He'd taken all the bills with him, locked them up in a briefcase. And so we sat around for 4 days waiting for him to come back. But he was a good man and a great Alaskan.
You have the floor, Senator.
Two minor technical corrections I might suggest. One would be on the Senator Paratovich citation. I believe he was president of the Senate twice, and perhaps that could be reflected somewhere in the citation. On the Teresa Friend citation, she was the sergeant of arms in the Senate for three sessions as opposed to the two that it mentions in the third paragraph, so perhaps the Secretary of the Senate could change that. And I would also move and ask unanimous consent that the Teresa Friend and the Frank Paratovich citations be shown as sponsored by all members of the Senate.
Without objection, it's so ordered. Senator Ray, have you moved for adoption of the citation?
Mr. President, I would move the adoption of the citations as read.
Without objection, it's so ordered. Is there unfinished business this morning? Announcements, meetings, or committee business? Senator Fahrenkamp.
President, on Wednesday, January 11th at 3 p.m. in the House Resources Committee, we'll have a briefing on the federal crop insurance program for members of the Resources Committee and any other senators interested. On Friday, January 13th at 3 p.m. in the Senate Finance Room, we'll have a presentation by John Sims on where we are now in the Office of Mineral Development and the showing of the two slide presentations that this body had a great deal to do with the presentation or the preparation of. So we invite all of you to join us at those times.
Judiciary Chairman.
Judiciary Committee will meet 1:30 today, Mr. President.
1:30 today, Butkovich Room.
Mr. President.
Further meeting announcements this morning, Senator Sackett.
Two meetings. Finance Committee will meet 9 o'clock tomorrow with the Department of Revenue to go over the revenue forecast for the coming fiscal year. Then the next day, on Wednesday at 9 p.m., we'll be meeting on the legislation pertaining to the spending limit.
No further announcements, Senator Rohde.
Mr. President, there'll be a brief meeting of the minority in the Butkovich Room immediately following the session.
Further announcements, Rules Chairperson.
Yeah, if appropriate now, Mr. Chairman, there are several things that I'd like to say. One is to announce to you that all senators are housed within this building. And in order to do that, there were four senators that did special things for other senators. And I'd like to publicly thank them at this time for giving up office space and making it possible so that all senators could be within the same building and under the same roof. And that's Senator Josephson, Senator Ray, Senator Pettyjohn, and Senator Moss all made efforts during the interim to make space available for all fellow senators. And I thank them for that. Now we have a whole new group of pages. and I'd like to introduce the pages to you at this time. And if you would step forward just a couple of steps so that they can identify who's who, that would be great. In the back of the room is Alan Plotnick. Alan was born in Anchorage, so I can claim him a little bit, but he's lived in Juneau for 18 years, so I guess he's really Senator Ray's. He's a graduate of Juneau Douglas High School. He plans to further his education in the university system after this session, and we welcome Alan with us. Alan is very enthusiastic and will gladly do your bidding for you, and we welcome him. Robert Irving is from Fairbanks, and after the session, he also plans to attend college. He's 19, and he's a music person, interested in guitar, interested in music theory, and hopes to expand at the university setting his musical capabilities. And we welcome you, Robert. Thank you for being here. Kathy Johnson is 17. Where's Kathy? She's coming. She's a graduate from Robert Service High School in my district in Anchorage. She doesn't plan to attend college. She's interested in Harvard Law School right now. And after practicing for a few years, she thinks she wants to go into politics. So she was interested in being a page for the session to see how it really is. And we welcome Kathy for being here with us. John Alcantara is from Palmer. He's 19. He just graduated from Valhalla High School in El Cajon, California. He plans to start college this fall at Northern Arizona University, and he plans to major in business law. So we thank you for joining us, and we're glad to have a member of the Matanuska Valley here with us today. Joanne Van Slyke is from Douglas, and she's interested in performing arts and someday hopes to have her own business, and we're happy to have Joanna with us. And last but certainly not least is Jay King. Jay is 20 years old and from Anchorage. He writes music and lyrics, and the other pages tell me he's a terrific dancer. He's a part of a professional dance troupe who hopes to perform in Europe this interim, and we welcome Jay with us very much. Returning as Sergeant of Arms, who was assistant last year, is Jack Gibbons, and I won't go through Jack. You know him from last year. And his assistant this year will be a returning page, Craig Lyon. And you know about him too. So hopefully it will be a good crew, and I welcome all of them here. Mr. President, you have a Joint Rules Committee meeting in the Butrovich Room at noon on Wednesday. Joint Rules with the House on Wednesday at noon. You have a conference committee on Senate Bill 257 set for Tuesday, January 10th at 3 o'clock. Conference committee with the House. And you have an Anchorage caucus in the Butrovich Room at noon on tomorrow. Thank you.
Further unfinished business? Is there special orders? You have the floor, Senator Moss.
Before we get to special orders, I do have an announcement to make. It's been posted already. Senate Bill 315, we will meet on it this week in the Butrovich Room. It's posted on the board. I might point out that we have had a series of meetings with the on railroads. I think most of us are well aware that the railroad has become a rather prime subject in the state here for the past 6 months. We are working under a time constraint, namely the month of July. Therefore, we are working to try to develop a meeting, a joint meeting between the Senate and House Finance, the Senate and the House Transportation, and the Governor's Administration people sometime around the 23rd of January, 24th of January, so that we may all see the picture as one, and perhaps maybe we can bring three or four bills together and come out with an operating bill. I would like to make sure that we are all aware of that. Hopefully it'll cut us down and we can meet our deadline on the short session this year. Thank you.
Okay. This time I'd like to introduce to you a man who needs no introduction, our Majority Caucus Chairman, who was just married, and I just wish you good luck, Joe, and maybe we all give him a round of applause.
Maybe like to say a few words.
Under special orders about a year from now. You have the floor, Senator.
I'd like to be excused from the Senate. On state business. On January 18, 19, and 20.
Is it in the Anchorage area?
No, sir. I'm attending a national conference on corrections. I will take my bride with me, but at my expense.
No objection. You're excused. Are there items under special orders this morning? You have the floor, Senator Pettijohn.
Mr. President, I ask unanimous consent to make an announcement of a meeting tomorrow.
You have the floor, Senator.
The District 4 Republicans are meeting at the Baranoff at noon tomorrow with Speaker of the House Joe Hayes as their speaker. Call everybody.
District 4?
Juno
Republicans.
Senator A, we're ready for the journal.
No other business to come before the Senate, Mr. President. And if I might have the liberty to just to say one thing to you to keep it uppermost in your mind, just think 100, and not one day more. With that, Mr. President, I move we adjourn at 10 a.m. Tuesday, January 10th.
We're adjourned.